Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Andy.
I'm just finishing a mint. Hang on, not ready.
Well, it could be a new way of broadcasting with mint.
Now I'm ready.
Minty, fresh broadcasting.
Now I'm ready. Well, that's what I do always.
Is this a Christmas special or not?
I don't know, depends on the content.
So we'll decide right at the end whether it was a Christmas special.
Yeah,
I saw
see
Roy.
How it felt.
Saw Roy on the way in the other studio.
Oh, is he in again, is he?
He gave us a thumbs up.
Oh, he's coming in.
Well, I reckon.
Oh, that'll be good.
I reckon, that'd be smart, wouldn't it?
I enjoy
well,
when he's in.
Christmas name for you, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Got three to run past you. Seeping turkey, hidden Ooh. Dippers, right? You know, because of all the seepage that like gathers on your pillar mm-hmm. at night and the chicken dippers that you hide under the tree for your kids.
Yeah.
So that's, like personalised for you.
Yeah, it feels lovely, that.
Daddy chestnuts.
That's nice.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that, you know, because of you've got tits and that. Chestnuts.
I see.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
Santa's fat ball.
Oh.
No, have a think, you know, because you look like a big fat ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look like a big fat ball, but, you know, like what they hang out in the backyard in Sunderland, you know, for the kids to gnaw on
if they
get peckish.
Right. Is that my choices?
That's your choices.
Or I can be runny hot dogs. I'm going to be Daddy Chestnuts.
Going to be Daddy Chestnuts?
But when I use it, I'm not going to use it. Like, with reference to me tits, I'm going to think about it as
real, lovely roasting
actual
chestnuts.
Christmas chestnuts. I've got two for you, and they're not Christmas-related.
Fair enough.
There we are. Bang. International Anderson.
I like it.
His hobbies include collecting German motorbike magazines and setting fire to German motorbike magazines.
I'm very tempted, because I am,
strong,
if anything, I'm international.
And Mr. 3 for 2. He only buys stuff that's in the 3 for 2 offers in the shops.
Yeah.
Garage is full of loads of bits of individual shit he doesn't need.
Yeah, well, that does kind of sound like me.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can be honky-tonk, as usual.
No, I'll be International Anderson.
International Anderson.
I can think of me now, you know, like flying on an adapted drone.
Yeah.
Across Europe.
Yeah.
You know, spreading goodwill.
Yeah,
handing out leaflets about laminate flooring that's cheap in Stockton.
To countries far and wide.
Far and wide.
Dropping stuff on people. Yeah.
Who is that laminate leaflet in
Twat?
Heading here over Bosnia. Yeah, it's me, it's International Anderson.
Can I just hark back to a song that I sang on this podcast in April, and it's turned out to be incredibly prescient. I would like to sing it again.
Really?
If that's all right with you. Yeah, just have a little listen to this.
It's one of these.
Drones everywhere you go. Sometimes 3, sometimes 4.
Oh.
Bloody drones. Drones moving round among the clouds. Are they ever coming down? Bloody drones. I warned the coppers back in April. All they did was just laugh. That's
Please.
Where it
oh,
ends.
Thank
That's
God
where
that
it ends.
End.
So there we are. I sang that at the end of April.
Yeah, did you sing the line about warning the coppers?
No, I didn't. I sang something about British Gas, I think.
Yeah.
But
so
it's come true,
you
hasn't
knew,
it?
You knew about this.
I'm not seeing
any potential drone threat. And you got in touch with British Gas.
Well, I wasn't sure who to go to.
No, it is.
There's not an
one.
Ombudsman for drones as yet, so I didn't know who to go to. I thought British Gas kind of oversaw everything.
It's weird, that drone thing. I did a survey this morning on Twitter.
Did you?
Right, I'm nearly up to 4,000 votes on the simple question, was it a drone or was it not drone? Yeah.
You think there's no drone?
I can't, well, you know, I mean, with drones, Andy, like, there was hundreds of people there with their cameras yesterday,
right,
trying to get a shot of it. No shot occurred. We use a big commercial drone when we're filming me fishing show.
Oh,
I know you love me fishing show.
I thought you'd mention that at some point.
And the racket they make, you could be heard half a mile away.
Are you sure that's a drone? It's not a generator?
No, it's a drone. We use it for
filming. Is it in the sky?
It's in the sky.
All right.
So I asked, and what do you think the results was? Do you think the British public thinks it is a drone or something else?
I think, given that we live in a climate of suspicion,
yeah,
I reckon not drone.
Not drone wins 55% to 45%.
Oh, God, it's another one of them. Another one of them results, is it?
One of them, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you for reminding me of that dreary song.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much indeed.
I just wanted to say, you know, told you so.
Where are you spending Christmas, Andy? At home in the bungalow or down at the shit farm with your relatives? Oh, there's a phone. Do you know who that is?
Who is it?
It's British Gas. I promise you.
Take it.
Shall I take it?
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? To British Gas?
What dealings have you got with them?
It's a survey as to whether I'm happy with British Gas. I'll get rid of it. All right. Sorry. So, are down the shit farm with your relatives?
No, not that.
You stay at the fungal?
Yeah.
I've got
with chestnuts.
With your chestnuts, yeah. Just oiling up your chestnuts.
Yeah.
I've got a new... definitely going to be a one-off, Andrew. Little competition quiz thing. It's called Bog, Fen, Swamp,
oh,
or Marsh.
I like it.
Yeah? So start thinking of marshland, swamps,
yeah,
and all that.
Okay.
Because the simple question is can you tell me the difference between bog, fen, swamp, marsh? And to give you a hand, they're four different types of wetland.
Well, I've got to say what they are.
Yeah,
you can give me like multiple choice, like,
no,
you normally
do. No, I won't drag it out forever.
Fucking hell. Well, bog is kind of like it's quite shallow, but it's got a bank like a river.
All right. What's
I've
a
seen
fen?
I've seen people bog snorkeling. Can we come back to fen? What's the other one?
Swamp.
Swamp. That's very deep, and it doesn't have.
What's deep?
I'm saying over 2 feet deep.
What is deep, though? What's this?
2 feet.
2 feet of what?
Of water.
2 feet of water is a lake, isn't it?
And grass. No, but there's grass and reeds.
Ah, that's important. There's grass and reeds.
Yeah.
And that's a swamp.
That feels like a marsh.
That's a marsh.
Swamp's mud. Swamp's predominantly mud.
I'll tell you what, Andrew, because it's such a dull item, I'm going to end it there, but you might be interested in knowing. A swamp,
yeah,
is a wetland on which trees grow.
Is it?
A marsh is a wetland with non-tree vegetation. So you got quite close to that, didn't
good.
You?
Good. What's a fen? I've got no idea what a fen is.
A fen is an alkaline wetland.
Jesus.
And a bog is
acidic
wetland.
Really? Is that the difference?
So, ladies and gentlemen, you have just been listening to bog, fen, swamp, marsh.
Welcome back if you've just fast-forwarded through the last minute and a half of this podcast. Hey, it's time to bring back the memory man. Your credentials need to be reconfirmed to the end of 2018.
And I remember everything
that's
ever
Are you
ever
ready, memory
yep.
man?
I'm always ready.
Do you remember the episode of Spender, starring
Jimmy Neil
in 1991, during which Jimmy Neil's character Spender chased a metro train from one station to the next, keeping up with it and catching the baddie afterwards?
91, Spender. Yes, I do. So,
whoa.
Didn't think I'd get that one, did you?
I didn't think you'd get that.
Ronnie.
It was a fantastic episode.
Great episode.
He ran after a metro train as it went from one station to the next, like some kind of superhero, a Geordie superhero.
I might have some insight to that. I once went to a meeting with Jimmy Neil.
You've mentioned it before, though, on the previous podcast.
Yeah, but he had the biggest shoes I've ever seen.
You mentioned that as well.
But I didn't know. Well, just it gives it authenticity, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that any human cobbler could make a pair of shoes
were
that
really
size.
Pointy at the tip?
Not particularly pointy.
Were they like boots?
Huge shoes. So I wonder if you think about it, Andy, surface area, the bounce he might get off that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the secret to his, that his probably great speed.
Is. That probably is. I'm going to post that clip on Twitter as well because it's superb.
Thank you, Andrew. Pete has given me his Christmas message, Andrew.
Oh, is he? Okay. He interested. Well, I'm very always interested.
Have an early Peter. Let's call it an early Peter.
Right, OK. Here we go then.
All right, Rob. Well, Christmas certainly is a magical time of the year, like you know, and it's a time of goodwill and all the lads and lasses, like you know, and time to reflect on your life, you know, like with an attitude of gratitude. For example, like, you know, I sleep on a single mattress in the spare room that used to be my son's bunk bed, like, you know. And it's taken on a perfect dip in the shape of my body, and I am very grateful for that, like, you know. The spare room, like, it's only small, you know, but it does have a window overlooking the back garden for me to have a good old stare through. And I am very grateful for that. So, and also on the shelf, like, there's a shelf on the wall, you know, where I keep my football books and my unusual egg cup collection. If not, and you know, I'm out shopping and I come across an egg cup that makes me think, oh, that's unusual. Then I add it to my unusual egg cup collection. I have 7 at the moment, and my favourite, like, is a camel, where the egg sits, well, you know, where the camel's hump would usually be. And I am very grateful for how unusual that egg cup is. So I'll just be having, like, you know, a quiet Christmas, looking after the wife, so... Last Christmas was a strange one, Bob. I woke up early and crept downstairs like a midnight creeper to fill man and the wife's stockings, like, you know, nuts, tweezers for her legs, like, funny cardboard shapes, you know, like monster-shaped or spaceship-shaped tracker bars, you know, the usual, like, tatten, that, you know. And I put her present under the tree. But I don't notice, like, that there wasn't a present from the wife to me, so I thought, oh, it's probably just like a bluff, you know. Like a bluff made me think I ain't not getting a present, like, yucko. So then I went in the kitchen, like, you know, to prepare the wife a Christmas morning nativity eggs. It's something that I invented, like, off the telly. I do a nice firm 5-egg omelette, like, you know, to represent the floor of the stable, and on top of that 3 hard boilers to represent the 3 wise foreign blokes. Then I make a mound of scrambled and put a little dip in to represent the manger. Then, of course, for Jesus' baby, I place a nice runny poachy in the dip. Oh, Bob, man, it's fucking fantastic sight. It really is, you know. So I put my Christmas paper hat on and I go upstairs, tip, tip, tap, tap on the bedroom door, and I sing, away in an eggy manger, little eggy Jesus lay.
Shut the fuck up, will ya, you little hallway creeper. I'm draining me leg in here and it's fucking tart.
But I go in the room, like, but love, I've bought you Christmas nativity eggs, like.
I'm not fucking interested, you spooky bastard. As far as I'm concerned, Christmas can fuck off back to Israel and take its fucking sticky dates and turkey slices with it.
But love, you know, I've spent ages...
Don't fucking talk back at me, you little shit-starer, and take that fucking dozy hat off. You look like a fucking Albanian coach driver in a sex hotel.
Oh, right, I suppose I'll do a bit later, but... So, what shall I do with the eggs, love?
You can fart on them as far as I'm concerned. Now get into your room and stare out your fucking window and keep out of my fucking sight until I shout at you.
So is that it, love? Like, is that Christmas is, like, you know, cancelled and that?
That's the fucking long and short of it. There's back-to-back... There's back-to-back Border Force New fucking Zealand on Quest Channel, so I'm just fucking sweet, thank you.
Oh dear. So I go back into my room like she told us, you know, and I put the nativity eggs on my bed and start to have a nice Christmas stare out of the window. You know, and I'm sad, like, about not having the proper Christmas. And then I see a little robin on a branch, twitching and, like, looking back at me. And I am very grateful to that robin for giving me a nice cheer up, you know. Suddenly, I heard the wife at the door, like, you know.
Open the fucking window, you slack bastard. It fucking stinks of batter in here.
I'd rather not, love, you know, it's like...
Just do as you're told or I'll fucking lamb you from here to fucking Bois de Boulogne. Garden was your best.
sorry, love, sorry. So I open the window and instantly I see a blue cord has been nailed to the window ledge.
Pull on it, you little shit bloke.
So I do, and on the other end is a big brown paper wrapped parcel. Oh, well, is this for me, love?
Well, who do you think it's fucking for? The fella from the Plusnet adverts, fucking hell. Mind you, it could be. He's nearly as fucking bland as you.
So I open up the parcel, and what do you know, Bob? It's a lovely new bright blue puffer jacket. Oh, lovely, this is a wonderful present. Thank you so much.
I knew you'd fucking like it. It's got a concealed hood, adjustable cuffs and a very fucking robust zip. You can wear it when you go out and about staring. Now check in the pocket, you dreary fuck.
Well, Bob, would you believe it? Like, you know, inside one pocket is a festive chicken wrap with chestnut and sage stuffing and the most lovely, lumpy, lumpy, oh so lumpy chicken that you could ever imagine. And in the other pocket is an egg cup. That's unusual, I think. And instantly I know that I will be adding it to my unusual collection. This is turning out to be the best Christmas ever, love.
You'll need to give that puffer sleeve a wipe down. I coughed up a fucking trout when I was grabbing it.
Oh, that's okay, love. I'll go and do that now.
Hey, I'm not finished yet. Come and sit on the fucking bed by me.
Oh, what? Am I in trouble, love?
No. You're a good lad, Peter. Now, go on. Have a quick go on me fronties while I tuck into these eggs. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, love. So, well, that was last year, and I am very grateful for that lovely memory. Well, I'm off to the chemist in a minute, you know, to look at the Christmas display. But I'll just tell you a few jokes from me joke book, like, before I get going, you know. So, I met a bloke at the garage yesterday called William Hill. What the odds of that happening? I also met the bloke who invented the windowsill. Absolute ledge. So, have you tried that new coconut shampoo? Oh, it leaves your coconuts looking fabulous, like. So, big game at Longleat Safari Park today. So, happy Christmas, Bob, you know. I'll leave you go and enjoy it with your family and that, so. One Peter Beasley, the only one Peter Beasley. One Peter Beattie.
So that's Peter. Nice Christmas he had last year then.
Yeah. She's Border all... Force New fucking Zealand. That sounds good.
Back to back as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have you been watching much telly, Andy?
You know what? I have to admit, I haven't been watching very much telly at all, Bob.
Can I talk to you about what I thought was one of the best bits of telly
of
the year?
I think you can, because I've got nout.
Sudden Until I Die, you know.
Isn't it good?
Oh, it's, what a great programme.
Mm.
What a great programme, like, for reminding people what football's about. No, sincerely, Andy.
Yeah, it is. You know, for me, right, personally, it was too raw. And it was too much too soon. Because I'd kind of put a lot behind me because this season's been so good.
Yeah.
I'd kind of forgotten about how traumatic and how much of a shit show last season was, but it all came flooding back watching that.
I bet.
But, you know, for the neutral like yourself, I can imagine it's a really good watch.
Well, I'm surprised that, it must be raw for you, but, like, it was just to, reminding yourself about, you know, like, it's not having 500 billion.
No.
It's not, you know, like what it's really about, the people who work there, the people who, you know, like organise their lives around it.
Fans and all that,
And like, there's just the superb drama of it. And if drama's going to, like, make you elated, then, you know, this is the price you pay for it. You've got to really care, haven't you?
Exactly. And the good thing is they're currently filming Series 2.
Oh, brilliant.
Covering this season. So, you know, Phoenix from the Flames and all that kind of thing. Hopefully.
Well, hopefully, touch wood.
Exactly.
Because I think the national, you know, like, as you know, Andrew, I've told you before, the first football club I ever went to see was Sunderland. I'm well aware of what a magnificent club it is.
Thank you, Bob. I regard myself personally responsible for parts of that.
The one negative thing is, although I'm sure you'll agree with it, what a terrible, awful man that character called Bane is.
Martin Bane. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He's the disease that is is northeast football, you know.
I've got a theory that football is run by bluffers and chancers and bullshitters and wankers.
And thank you for saying that, Andy, because that was just what I was going to say.
He ticks all the boxes.
All the boxes for all his front and his peacock striding and his vanity.
Yeah.
It was all just puffies.
He said nothing that wasn't a cliche or a platitude, or he said and did nothing in that documentary.
But sadly, those people easily exploit.
Yeah, bewildered billionaire football club owners.
Yeah, and you know, seeing the scouts, Andy, sorry to go on so much about football, but wasn't it sad seeing the two scouts going? You know, I'm sorry to be that, but useless, out-of-date dinosaurs going to see a player and rejecting him because he was wearing gloves.
Because he was wearing gloves, yeah.
Honestly, man, that is the sickness you know...
Just gravy train shit, wasn't it?
Gravy train shit everywhere.
One of them was a former player, I think, Glyn Snowden. I don't know who the other guy was, but it's just like jobs for the boys.
Jobs for the boys.
You know, he used to be a player, so therefore they reckon he can spot a player. And just driving around, just having a laugh, basically, the two of them, having a laugh, because I think, as he said, it's better than watching the telly.
Yep, and that about sums it up, doesn't it? But, I mean, we've gone on around it for a bit, but I think, just to emphasise, it is really well worth watching, isn't it?
It is. It's on Netflix.
Sit down and try. I think we watch the whole lot.
Yeah.
Set aside whatever you need, 3 hours.
I think
and
it's
watch
about
it.
40 minutes an episode, so you need about four and a half hours.
And a big up to the Welsh lad, Johnny.
Johnny Williams. Oh, didn't Johnny Williams just need a big cuddle?
Yeah,
me and my boy were sitting watching it and going, oh, he's so lonely. He could have come round ours and played Xbox with us. We could have played FIFA.
Ah, shame.
But hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
But carrying on, Andrew.
Anyway, that's our football content for 2018 out of the way.
Do you remember R.E.M.? Do you remember them? R.E.M.? They're all dead now. Breaks your heart, doesn't it? Breaks your heart, though, doesn't it? Just being serious for a second, like.
They're not dead.
All right, sorry. All right. Do you remember UB40? Do you remember them, eh? Oh, they're all dead now, you know. Breaks your heart, doesn't it? Breaks your heart, doesn't it?
They're not all dead.
All right, well, I'm going to drop that section then.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good afternoon and welcome to Who's the Christmas Prick? With me, Dominic Littlewood. And my guest today on this special festive edition of Who's the Prick? Is faded celebrity Bob Mulmer. Good afternoon, Bob Mulmer.
Good afternoon, Dom.
Thanks for coming along. And I believe you're playing today to raise money for a very good cause, and that is for stronger 4G signals on mountains.
Yep, yep.
Very best of luck with that, Bob Mulmer. I just want to say as well, you're free to walk away at any time, Bob Mulmer. If we can learn anything at all from Who's the Prick, it's that we should all respect each other's personal boundaries.
Fair enough.
Are you happy to continue?
Very happy, yeah.
Right, well, here we go. You know how it works. I'm going to tell you three people. You've got to tell me which one's the prick. One of them's a prick, two of them ain't. And I've got my special assistant joining me today. None other than Joe Swash. Hello, Joe. Joe Swash!
Is that all Joe does?
Thanks, Joe. We'll be coming back to you a little bit later on. Right, here's the three names for you, Bob Mulmer. Mo Bose, Bruce Jeffrey Pardo, and Beth Spooner. One of them's a prick, two of them ain't. Which one's the Christmas prick, Bob
Mulmer? The Christmas prick is the middle one with the double-barrelled name.
Bruce
prick.
Jeffrey Pardo. What makes you think that?
I'll be honest with you. He sounds like maybe a serial murderer, poisoner, something like that.
Perhaps that's the sort of thing I would put in making you think that was what it would be.
Maybe,
to try and get inside your head.
Let's ask Joe
mess
Swash.
It around a bit. Joe Swash has actually got the answer for us. Joe, who is it? Joe Swash! Oh, fucking hell, Joe. Right, the answer is Bruce Jeffrey Pardo!
Thank you, Dom.
He dressed up as Santa Claus and went on a killing spree in 2008. Well done, Bob Mulmer.
Really?
True story.
Wow.
Mo Bose volunteers at a dog's trust shelter each Christmas Day, and Beth Spooner will be working at an hospice this Christmas Day. So, Joe, what's his prize? Joe Swash! Fucking hell, Joe. Well done, Bob Mulmer. Thanks for coming along and playing. Who's the Christmas prick? I wish you a very Christmas.
Thanks for having us, Dom.
You're welcome.
Do you remember episode 4 of this podcast?
No chance.
Do you not? No. Well, chance. You asked me if there was a beer leaf in Sunderland.
All right. I do vaguely recall
that.
And
I said I was due to get it sometime in 2018. Well, I've had it.
You've had it?
I had it last week. I got it for 5 days. It was pretty much all sellotape together.
I imagine, not
in a good condition, yeah. But I know some of the listeners have been tweeting and asking as well when I'm getting this. I thought I'd update it. I basically just soaked it in some pot noodle gravy overnight, and then I put it in my mouth for an hour and a half.
Nice.
Didn't suck it or anything because it would have just disintegrated. I just kept it on my tongue, took the flavours from the pot noodle gravy and the bay leaf combined. It's nice. Yeah. It's nice. Taped it up again where it was a bit frayed, and then I passed it on to them next door.
Is there a time in the future, maybe 2020, 2022 maybe, comes to mind, when they might be replacing it and having like the new bay leaf?
There's no plans of them. I think they've got a grant application in, but with Brexit, it's all up in the air. So
it's a budget thing, isn't it?
I think it's a European grant, so we might not get a new one.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
Well, it's what people vote for, isn't it?
Well, if they vote for, but you see, no one mentioned the bay leaf.
No, they didn't. To be fair, but you know, people didn't think about that, did they?
Yeah. Well, I'm having turkey this Christmas.
Do you have Yorkshire pudding with your Sunday dinner?
No, with my Sunday dinner.
Sorry, with your Christmas dinner,
No.
Do you have it with your Sunday dinner?
I have it on Boxing Day because we have beef on Boxing Day.
Do you?
Yeah.
Very elaborate.
It's not that elaborate. It's a joint of meat, you know.
But I don't know, but it's not
It doesn't come like in the shape of a parallelogram
A joint of meat on one day, then another one the day after. That's a bit flash, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're sitting watching the box.
Have turkey leftovers.
Turkey leftovers.
Like normal people.
Turkey leftovers are quite a nice name for something.
Turkey curry.
Hey, I was on the train on the way here, Andy, yeah? And a bloke stood next to me with the biggest parallelogram-shaped bag in his hand, right? Yeah. But I mean like 4 foot by 3 foot.
Right.
And I said,
parallelogram bag? I can't imagine that.
Yeah, honestly. And I said, so what? Do you mind me asking what's in your bag? And I don't think he thought I really wanted to know. So he just laughed it off.
Right.
And I said, you're not just like taking parallelograms around, are you?
Handing them out to the poor.
Yeah. And he says, a funny lad, he said, yeah, it's full of parallelograms. I'm going back up to Newton Aycliffe.
Right.
Because they really need parallelograms up in Newton Aycliffe. So anyway, so then I said, no, honestly, what's in it? And it was a bike.
Right.
It's a bicycle. And he carries it round in a...
Should he not be riding it?
Well, you know, I think he's using the bike. I don't mean it was a present. I mean, like, so he transports it between rides.
Right.
In a bag, a black, looks like leatherette sort of bag.
Is it a foldy bike, is it?
Well, I'm presuming it's very thin, though.
Okay, where's this going?
It's going up to Newton Aycliffe. Is that what you meant?
No, but whatever.
He's turning up to Newton. So anyway, I just thought, so I'd like to give a shout out to the bloke with the bag.
The bloke with the parallelograms.
With a bike in
a bag.
When
he's with Newton Aycliffe. A bit like Chris Rea, isn't he?
Yeah.
Driving home. Yeah, do you reckon Chris Rea is still driving home for Christmas?
I mean,
it was 1988, wasn't it? It must cost him an arm and a leg in petrol if he's still at it.
I think he probably is, Andrew, driving home for Christmas.
What do you think he does? Do you think he sets off again on Boxing Day and just drives around for the next 364 days, eventually ending up back at home?
No, I don't think so. I presume he rides to his home, his recording studio, vacation.
Oh, you vaguely know him. Could you maybe give him a ring now and ask?
No, I can't. No, I'm not going to phone up Chris Rea and say,
why not?
Do you drive home for Christmas 364?
Why not? Do it.
I don't know him that well.
You got his number, though, haven't you?
I haven't got his number.
Have
actually.
You not?
Have you got anyone Firmus's number?
Just you.
Just me?
Oh, yeah.
That's shit for you, innit?
It's life, innit?
Did you have me big new big night out's just finished, Andy?
I haven't watched the last one yet. I went to pantomime instead.
Well, I think it's got, like, for me and Jim, it's got our finest moment, which is the cod and parsley sauce dream sequence.
Oh, right, I haven't seen that yet.
I should think it turned a lot of viewers off us.
Was it a bit sickening?
No, we're not sick of it. It's a bit, what do they say? It's like a bit out there.
A bit self-indulgent.
Uh-huh. That's the word, yeah.
So there'll be no second series.
But
then.
I wanted to say that it's on iPlayer.
Okay.
And I think it's a delightful little Christmas treat.
Yeah.
Maybe watching back to back.
And your fishing thing's still on iPlayer for like a year or something, isn't it?
It's on for a year.
I don't know what deal you've pulled there.
Well, because, you know, it's like, it's such sort of, is it soporific? Is that a word?
What makes you go to sleep, yeah.
Yeah.
Used like turkey.
It's used as a health tool. I've got some wife's questions here.
Oh, let's have them then.
So, here we go. Hello, Andrew, she says.
Hello, Bob's wife.
Dear Andrew, which one of your tits do you hang your Christmas stocking from? Good question.
I alternate so that they don't get weighed down.
Oh, you alternate, nice. Yeah. What is your favourite member of the Quality Street gang? You know, you have Quality Street sweets. I thought... So, yeah, I know. Good question.
Can't afford Quality Street. I get the Sainsbury's own brand.
Which is your...
Just as tasty.
Andrew, which is your favourite? You're aware of Quality Street.
Orange cream.
I like the orange cream.
Do you?
And everyone leaves them, don't they?
Well, not in my house, no.
Do you like...
Fight over them.
So you prefer it to the strawberry cream?
I like the strawberry cream, so I've veered towards the orange cream over the years, though.
What's your nemesis, your enemy in the Quality Street tin?
Oh, anything with a nut in it.
Anything
with a coconut in it.
You don't eat like that big purple bastard?
That got a nut in it.
That's got a nut in it, yeah.
That's all right.
It's all right, isn't it? I thought, says the wife, you were going to say the tin, because the kids can use it to spew up in after one of your Christmas platters turns them towards the queasy, you know.
Okay.
Andrew, says the wife, will you cook a Christmas dinner or just go to the Toby Carvery and do a runner or a waddle in your case?
I don't know. I'll just probably get something out of the bins around the back at like tea time. Is that what you want?
You'll have a frozen turkey, won't you? A 12-pounder.
Yeah, maybe I will. maybe I will. Yep. Hey, I took my youngest quad into Sunderland the other day, into the Bridges shopping centre.
Yeah.
To go and see Santa, because he's almost the age now where he's not that bothered, but he still kind of wanted to go and see Santa.
Yeah.
Had my Christmas jumper on with Rudolph. Right, on the nice. Front, and his lovely red nose and all that. So, queued for about 20 minutes at the grotto, because it was busy.
Yeah.
Finally got in, into the grotto. Santa's there. He says, come and sit beside Santa and all, you know, all the stuff. Have you been a good boy this year, Jick, and all this? What do you want for Christmas? And Jick says he wanted a drone, because everyone wants a drone this Christmas, don't they?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And Santa's beard started to slip off a little bit at the side, start to fall away. So I'm like, I coughed. Like, try to discreetly point at him and point at the beard and say, you know, your beard's coming off, Santa. He goes bright red, whips the entire beard off, and he goes, seen you!
Oh,
fucking Corbyn,
wasn't Corbyn,
it?
Isn't it?
Jeremy Corbyn. He says, seen you there with your festive red-nosed woolen wear on. Who do you think you are, Michael Bublé? Well, no, I'm just having a nice Christmas experience with my son, taking him to see Santa. Yeah. He says, what's your best Christmas? I says, I don't know, they're all like nice. Yeah. I always have a nice Christmas, different reasons each year, you know. He says, oh, whatever, ask me my best one. Go on, ask me my best Christmas. I says, right, what's your best Christmas, Jeremy? Labour Party Christmas Party, 1984. I got off with two women on the same night, both called Judith. Bosh! Talk about Band-Aid.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means, Jeremy. And Jick's getting agitated now. Jick's like saying, what's happening, Daddy? Why does Santa smell of earth and beetroot, Daddy? Where's the elf, Daddy? Corbyn says, Billy Bragg, he's gone for a shit. I'd had enough of this by now. I says, I'm going to go. Come on, I paid £5 to come and see Santa. Is there a little present for the kiddie? Yeah. And he just picks up a 12-inch decorative Christmas tree that was next to him, throws it at us, hits us right in the tits.
Shit.
So I'm like, ah! He goes, shit happens! So, you know, Jick was inconsolable. Yeah. So I just took him off to the pop-up hippie crack shop.
Yeah.
And we had a bit of dinner. But not nice. He probably won't want to go and see Santa again after that.
Oh, dear.
So
that's a shame. Well, you can explain to him, surely.
I'll try.
You try your best.
I'll try.
Bloody Corbyn, eh?
Yeah. Judith.
Senior.
Two of them.
Two Judiths.
Mm.
Judith Hahn. Might she have been about that?
Might have been Judith Hahn and Judith Chalmers, I imagine.
Judith Chalmers.
Talking 1984, yeah.
They're the two Judiths,
they were the two predominant Judiths of the mid-80s.
Of the period, yeah.
Yeah.
Barry Homeowner,
yeah,
he sent me, nice of Barry, busy lad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He sent me like his, you know, like Christmas, is it Christmas speech, Christmas message?
Something like that. He'd get a job as a CEO at a football club one day, wouldn't he?
Honestly, he freaking would, especially in the North East, you know what I mean? So here it is. He sent me it on a tape, you know.
Oh, aye.
Yeah, you know, so you can hear it. Yup. Right. So, yeah, Barry Homeowner here. So, listen, I'm a success in all aspects of my life that I lead on behalf of the community in my life, peers. You can be too if you follow my 7 simple rules to make yourself an achievement magnet in the coming new year. 1. Drink fresh-grown coffee. Is that his voice?
Yeah.
1. Drink fresh ground coffee to give yourself an energy squirt when entering an important day segment. Could be a sales pitch, a client conflict resolution bout, or even a romance pitch. This is why they call me the Camper Choo Choo Express, and you should get on board if you want your destination to be Prosperity City. 2. Stay in touch with technology advancement and development. I'm basically functioning at the level of an artificial intelligence unit at the moment. I'm at the cutting edge of the achievement knife. Alexa, turn off the dehumidifier in the basement den. Alexa, reset the burglar alarm to Agent 007. Alexa, subscribe me to Spotify Premium. I don't want any adverts interrupting my lady gripping sessions. Make your kitchen island the centre of your life as a non-Indian person in the United Kingdom of Happy Days. Tattoo these words onto your physical mind. I am a big hitter. Take care of your physical appearance. Hair sculpt every morning. Oil your thighs after every soil drop. And make your slacks A-line every time and your shirts loose and flirty. Be ready and able to receive the love and adoration of others. Yup. Big point. If a lady takes your fancy, pop a banana in her shopping trolley. If the boss gives you a hug, pop a cigar in his briefcase. And if a colleague helps you, slip a pork pie in their pocket. All these gestures will be appreciated and should lead to influence and favour gestation. Finally, remember to switch mortgage provider every 2 years, switch energy supplier every 12 months, and switch on to Barry Homeowner whenever I'm in your life space. Ciao bella, mon ami, e muchos gracias, por favor, and don't forget to fear the Kraken. Oh, that's it. That was a lot of bullshit.
That was a nice tip he sent in. Don't forget to fear the Kraken.
Don't, yeah, so weird, he's so sorted in his life. But he fears a mythical creature. Oh, hey, up. Here we come. Bye. Oh, are you ready? Here we come.
Aye.
Let me get him. It's Roy Hodgson.
I'll go and sit in the corner.
Okay. Hey, Roy. Yeah, come in. Thank you very much. Take a seat. Oh, all right, Roy.
Morning, son. Who's your mate, by the way? He looks like a green-skinned swamp goblin that's forgotten its vial of chokeweed extract.
I'm sorry, Roy, I don't quite understand your reference.
It's from Warhammer. It's chokeweed. It's very effective venom in Warhammer. You prepare it by brewing chokeweed roots with the fluid from a cat's bile duct. It's fucking lethal. And your mate here looks glum as if he's forgotten to take it into battle with him. It reminds me of that dozy Herbert Benteke. He's forever getting into a soak for not packing sage kill.
Oh, right, I've got it. So it's from Warhammer game, yeah?
Game? A game? Are you legitimately off your rocker? It's not a game, you knobhead. It's a military campaign simulation. It's as far removed from Cluedo or similar shit as riding a bicycle is from space flight.
Right, so you say it's not a game, but is there a board and pieces that come in a box, that kind of thing?
No! You have to create the battlefield using scale models of Warhammer buildings, Warhammer landscapes, and most importantly, model Warhammer characters and weapons.
And all right, so where do you build the battlefield then?
Well, any appropriate surface will suffice for Warhammer. A kitchen table about 6 foot by 4 foot, that's ideal. Benteke, who uses a wallpaper pasting table. Andros Townsend uses a 5 foot circular piece of plywood that he's mounted on, get this, horse's legs.
Wow.
And as for Jake Humphreys from BT Sport, well, he uses a sheet of forged steel that was given to him by an actual lizard man. Well, so he says.
Yeah, so he says.
Yeah.
Where do you buy all the models and all this stuff?
Well, Games Workshop. It's the home of Warhammer. All the gear is relatively inexpensive if you're rich.
OK, well, that's very interesting. But moving away from Warhammer...
Warhammer.
Yeah. Warhammer.
Warhammer.
What? Warhammer.
Warhammer.
OK, yeah, moving away from Warhammer.
Warhammer.
What are your plans for Christmas, Roy? I know it's a busy period for football managers.
Well, you're not wrong here, Bob. I've got 3 matches over Christmas.
Yeah, you got a Cardiff, City and Everton, I believe.
No, Benteke and Humphreys on the 23rd, Townsend and Benteke on the 26th, and then head-to-head with my old mate Neil Warnock on the 2nd of January. Lovely.
All right, Warhammer again.
Warhammer.
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 Warhammer. Anyway, I've got to go now. I'm picking up a Thunder Hammer and a Lightning Claw from Games Workshop, and it's going to take me all weekend to paint them.
Yeah, well, what about the City match, Roy?
Well, what about it? Has Pep got an orc army or an inferno cannon? I very much doubt it. Should be a piece of Piscopo Warhammer.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, thank you. Well, thank you very much, Roy.
Warhammer.
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 Warhammer. Warhammer.
See you, Roy.
Warhammer.
Oh, he's gone the wrong way, I think. See you, Roy.
Oh, he's left his he's left his chalkweed portion behind.
Has he?
Shall we try it?
But he's going to be upset if he goes in. He's got 3 matches and no chalkweed.
He's fucked.
He mentioned Neil Warnock there.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I could do anything like a Neil Warnock impression.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I'm going to give it a go, right?
Are you going to learn it over Christmas?
Well, it's
are you going to do it
now? I thought I'd give it a go, yeah. It's right, though, isn't it? You know, I mean, I'm a bit old-fashioned or something, but it strikes me really... Is it like that?
Kind of, yeah.
So strikes me some of these top clubs aren't right, though. They're not right, though, innit? But because I'm a little old dinner lady, Warnock, I can't be right, you know what I mean? Do you get where I'm coming from?
No, it's not right. 6 out of 10. Can I introduce a sound effect at this point?
Yeah, go on. Oh, I was hoping for a boing.
What do you think?
Well, it's quite good.
Better or worse than your Warnock?
It's better than me Warnock. It's very insistent, isn't it? Very, you know, very insistent.
Yeah.
Oh, Okay, well, happy Christmas.
Yeah, and, same to you, Bob.
And,
yeah,
a Merry New Year.
And all of that, yeah.
And same to our listeners.
Them as well, yeah. Merry Christmas, everyone. Thanks for listening to us and enjoying our words.
Well, nobody said, no, you don't know they're enjoying it, Andrew, but, you know, thank you for giving us a chance.
If you're listening to it and not enjoying it, then maybe you should consider your life choices a bit more in 2019.
Yeah. Do you listen to the Peter Crouch one?
No.
Podcast? No, I don't.
No.
Do you listen to the Gary Lineker one?
Once or twice, yeah.
Any good? Better than this?
They're doing a live show, you know.
Is it better than this?
No.
You sure?
Certainly.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.